This morning, really, I can say that God spoke to my heart from the scriptures, scriptural thoughts about this area that we don't know really the need of our own heart. We don't know exactly what we need. We do know something about our needs, but we don't know enough. We know the physical needs, but we don't know the deeper needs. We don't know that our real need is, first of all, to be saved, and then to be joined to God. Like a branch to a tree. You remember John 15. And the devil manipulates this area. He really manipulates this area. You know, when I was working in the sales world a little bit in America, I used to work in sales. And the sales trainers come and tell you how you can be a good salesman. And they teach you that you need to build a desire in people for something. You show them big, beautiful pictures, and if you sell like strawberries or something, they're made even bigger than they are and more colorful, and it's called a desire builder. Well, there can be something, of course, technically correct about this system, but actually, the devil takes our needs and turns them into lust. What are lusts? Lusts are desires that are outside of the will of God, or manipulated desires. Now, many things may be God's will, but it's not God's timing, and it's not God's way. If you ever meet people that know somehow how needy they are for God, and then they have tasted the richness of God's grace, richness of God's word, the richness of the supply of the Spirit, if you met these people, it is almost like contagious. Like Isaiah the prophet was seeing the cherubim or the cherubim in heaven, and they were just saying nonstop, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And the way they said it, and they worship, that was like contagious. And he realized, "I don't have this. I don't have this." They really are filled with God. And they're not even people, they're like angels. Some kind of angelic beings they are. They really are. And the way that they just worship, it made him so hungry. It made them so hungry. And he said, I'm a sinful man. I have sinful lips. I'm not like this. And then this one of the cherubim, or cherubim they say in English, came and touched his lips, and he said, "You're clean now. You're clean. This call has cleansed you." Yes. I think he sensed his lack of this, what the cherubim, these angels, were experiencing. Live right out of God. Be fully satisfied with God and give him back the praise Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. To tell God that everything you are doing is holy, righteous. While the earth rebels against God, while the earth does so many wrong things, the earth is what God is focusing on, the earth primarily. The image of God is in the people. It's not even in angels in the same way. No. We are the image of God. And there's millions of people in the image of God, and they go with the enemy. So God is sad. And God does everything right. So these angels are telling, yeah, it's right to say that God is sad about that and grieved about that. So they're telling him that you are doing everything right. You are holy. They live to the satisfaction of God. How amazing. Us that are humans, that are people, we're people, men and women, and that we are forgiven. We know this. We know hesed, grace, and we know this word rahamim, mercy or mercies. We know this in our hearts. We have so much reason to let God satisfy our needs. But I believe when our real needs are satisfied, our real needs are satisfied, we begin to live to the joy of God. But it cannot be done without God's righteousness. We need to be strong in this, that we are justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach. Romans 5:9, Romans 5:1, and all these Romans 3 scriptures. Oh yes. So there are needs and there are needs. There are real needs, needs of the heart. And then there are those manufactured needs. Just like, you know, salesman can go to somebody and say that, I think you really need this because they want to sell. And then they tell with so many reasons and so many ways why you need this thing and why you need this article, why you need this. It'll make you more happy. The need may not be even real. It may be like in the garden. Let's go in Genesis 3 a little bit. Genesis 3, it talks about the serpent. The serpent was more subtle. Arum is like subtle, conniving, trickery. Yeah, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yeah, as God said, Achki Amar Elohim. Achki Amar Elohim. I would translate it even like, yeah, of course said it. Of course God said it. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Of course he said it, because he knows he's keeping back something from you. It was kind of like a sarcastic statement. Or you can say it like, yeah, as God said. But Achki Amar Elohim, it sounds to me more like sarcastic way. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden is the central point. Center is in the center, and that's actually in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. And somewhere near it was also the tree of knowledge. But the enemy puts the tree of life, a tree of knowledge, in her mind to be in the center. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. No, he confused it. No, he confused it. Because it says in the Bible that God put the tree of life in the midst of the garden. In chapter 2, verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life is mentioned particular to be in the midst of the garden. And also there's the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge is there to test us. But the tree of life is in the center. The first temptation is like that the tree of life is not in the middle of our heart, in the middle of our garden, in the middle of our need. And the tree of life is actually, Yeshua says in Psalm 15, I am my, the vine of truth. The vine of truth for sure is the tree of life. The tree of life may be expressed also in other ways, but the vine of truth for sure is a tree of life. So the devil tries to create a need, something else than that which is in the midst. That he is our life, he is our everything, he is our need. So he comes and says, you need that, and you need that, and you need that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. He's trying to, in a very subtle way, to market to Yeshua the false need. And by the way, I don't mean this against salesmen, because there are true needs, and you know, people need all kinds of things, and refrigerators and air conditioners, and we need things. But right. In Matthew chapter 4, Yeshua was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, verse 1, to be tempted of the devil. And there's so many ways we can look at the temptation, but he's trying to stir up a need, rather a lust, in the Lord Yeshua. But Yeshua is not driven by needs and by lust like we would be. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In other words, you need food. And you are the Son of God. You can just command. But the Lord knows that if you start discussing with the devil, it's like you would be driving on a highway and you ask somebody, how do I get such and such a place? How do you get there? And he will say, you go here to the left and to the right. And devil is like this. He takes you the roads and you don't know where he takes you. And then you have to argue about this sideway, and you have to argue about that. You cannot win an argument with the devil. Actually, deep down in my heart, I believe that Yeshua could have won an argument with the devil, even without using the scripture. But he used the scripture because the scripture destroys the lie, and he wanted to give us an example how to deal with temptation. He could have argued and won the argument with the devil. He could have. He sees right through them. But that's not his way. When the devil comes and knocks on our door, and says something that is not true, he might say, you're too bad, you have no hope. Or he might, if I need to confess something to the Lord, he might say that, don't have an honest talk now with the Lord. Wait till the evening. But, you know, I may just need to have an honest talk with the Lord. Maybe I thought something I shouldn't have thought, and I need to tell him. Or he may tempt us into something evil. Something really evil. This is a little bit evil. Or thinking that is not good. Where I would be tempting God's goodness, doubting him. So, we'll do what the Lord says. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what I do sometimes when I'm tempted? I may not have the scripture in my mind ready. So I pray, Lord, give me the scripture. I may open the Bible, read a little bit. But I say, Lord, give me the scripture. What is the scripture that I should use? The Holy Spirit will give us a scripture. Maybe just one thought. Maybe just one thought. God loves you. Yeshua paid for our sins. You are a new creation. And that's why we need to hide the Word of God in our heart. Thinks about the grace of God, goodness of God, holiness of God, everything that God is. We need to build a reservoir in our hearts, you know, so that there's something in store. Like we go to the store and we try to put some food or something to eat the next morning. We need to build something and then we have that God can use. Yes. Yes. Devil doesn't love the truth. And then the devil takes him up into a holy site. Let me say one more thing. Was the need true? Does he need bread? Yes. The need was true. Does he have power to make miracles? Whatever he wants. He has power to make miracles. But he can only make those miracles that God wants him to do. If he wants to do the will of God. And be our Savior. Be our Messiah. Be the perfect one. Yes. He can do anything. But it wasn't the right timing. And it wasn't the right way. When many young people are young, when young people are young, great statement, okay. Everybody wants to get married, you know. That's a good thing. Most people. It's a good desire to want to get married. Very good. But it needs to be in God's timing and God's way. And if it's the right person, it can be wonderful. But if it's not the right person, we will live with the results. Yes. So it's important to depend on God, lean on God, wait on God. And that means that I'm not in charge of my life. We have this temptation to operate in the orphan spirit. I have to be in charge. I have to be in control. I have to know what's going on. I have to know about tomorrow. I have to know about everything. And okay, we can gain certain knowledge from the Word of God, but we are not in control. We are not in control. We also have Bible prophecy. We know which way things are going, and we should know. But we don't know exactly. We don't know exactly. Okay. So the second temptation was the devil takes him up in verse 5 to a holy city. We are right now in the holy city. This is the holy city, Jerusalem. And sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, like way up on the temple. It's like a ledge where you can be, and sets him there. Devil takes him there. Wow. But he agreed to go. Obviously he could not have gone there. But if you want to test me, do it. Test me. I go to the pinnacle of the temple. I let you say what you want to say. Use all your weapons. Yeshua is not afraid. We are weak people. So we should try to avoid temptation. Yeshua taught us to pray. Don't lead us to temptation. Oh Father, don't lead us to temptation. We're weak. But Yeshua here is not afraid. He needs to face the devil head on for us. He took his battle for us. And he goes to the pinnacle of the temple where the devil takes him. And then verse 6, it says to him, if thou be the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, why does he question that, if you are the Son of God? He also means it like this, because you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, prove it. That's what he's saying. He's trying to make him prove who he is. Now, that's a very clever trick. When we are young, even in school, we want to prove how powerful we are. Boys want to fight, prove who they are. Then all our life we have a temptation. Ladies, have they temptations? A little different way. But all our lives we have the temptation. Prove who you are. Show you who you are. Because you know, people won't understand. Who will stand for you? This is the orphan spirit in which the devil operates. If you don't take life into your hands, nobody will. In one level it would be true, but we have a Father in heaven. He knows the real need. He knows the real need. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is very interesting. So the devil knows the scriptures, yes. But he never connects one scripture to another to another. He never takes the context. He never takes the totality of the picture. He will always twist it. He will twist it. He's excellent in twisting the scriptures. So what he is saying is, just make a show. Jump down, and before you land down and fall on the rocks, angels will come and catch you. This will be really, the whole nation will see who you are. They will know you are the Son of God. Just show it. No, Yeshua is not going to fall into this. Yeshua is not going to fall into this. No. Are we going to fall into it that we might get an opportunity to really show who we are? There might come an opportunity to do something that just is not really the right thing, but we can show something. We can get something fast, really fast. Sometimes there are, in the business world, people have opportunities to make a lot of fast money, but it may not be righteous money. It may not be just. And people fall into the trap. Oh Lord, help us to be like you. And you will overcome in us. So Yeshua, no. He says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. whatever we are going through, the Father is watching. And especially when we are in hard times and trials, the Father is intensely watching. He is intensely watching every moment. And He knows. So we can count on it. The temptation is really to doubt God. To doubt God as our Father. To doubt God that He's not there to take care of everything, to line up the times, to line up everything. Yeshua is not going to fall for that. No. Verse 8. Again, the devil takes Him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Wow, He has power to take Yeshua to a high mountain. He has power to take Yeshua to a very high mountain. And Yeshua agrees to go. Holy Spirit brought Him, even drove Him in a way to this temptation to show the devil where it's at. Yes, absolutely. But where is such a high mountain that you can see all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them? We know that in our world we have like the virtual world, and we have the computers, and we have the AI, and then they have these super computers, quantum computers. Well, these things kind of didn't exist that time. But wait a minute. Something existed. Something existed that He's taken into some mountain. It's almost, I'm not saying it's exactly a high-tech mountain, but it's something like comparable to high-tech or something, where He can see all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. Where is such a telescope that you can see to all the kingdoms from one spot? At that time, there were people living in China. There were people, yes, there were people in America. Yes, there were people in South America. Yes, there were people in all different corners of the earth already 2,000 years ago. By the way, people that don't really know the bottom line of history, they would challenge me on this. But there were people. There were kingdoms all the way to South America. There were different kingdoms. There were. There were people. I don't have time to go into it. So, Yeshua sees, devil shows Him all these kingdoms and all the glory of them. All the glory of them. Glory? Everybody wasn't 2,000 years ago just a fisher and a hunter. There was all kinds of glory in these kingdoms. All kinds of riches. You know, King Solomon brought the boats full of gold and peacocks and articles and spices and these good Arab spices that are in the markets. All kinds of things. From a long trip, there was a lot of glory. You King Sheba, Queen of Sheba coming from Africa. There was all kinds of glory. And Yeshua saw all of them from one mountain. I can't explain to you what mountain it was. But I'm telling you one thing. Technology is not as new as we think. There was all kinds of things that the angels knew. And especially the chief angel. These things are not new to him. No. And showed them all the glory. And He said to them, all these things will I give to you if you will fall down and worship Me. Ah, take the kingdom now so you don't need to suffer and die first. Yeah, but He doesn't have a drive to rule over anybody. That's not His desire. He wants to be the Lamb, and after He is the Lamb, He wants to be the Lion. In all of these three temptations. If you look carefully, devil challenges him in all these three things. He is the priest, he is the king, and he is the prophet. And he is challenging him in all these three things. The last one is concerning the king. Also, he wanted to be a prophet of bread, you know. How many prophets there are today? Prophets like this that prophesy for money. They speak for money. They say all kinds of things. But they have money in mind, like Bilam. No good. No good. No good. And he's also the priest. He is the priest. And he's not going to jump down from the temple, let's have the temple as the priest. He's going to build the eternal temple. He doesn't need these tricks. Okay, our Lord stood. Our Lord stood in all the temptations. Let me ask you a question. Are you a needy person? If you are a needy person in the right way, it's a blessing. If you are like the Philadelphia, I ask it also from myself, then God can say to us like this. He said to Philadelphia in Revelation 3 verse 8, I know thy works. I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength. You have small strength, small amount of strength. You know what's amazing? We have enough strength. The little strength we have enough. But we have no strength to waste. I can't waste my strength in stupid things. I can relax and enjoy good things that are right things. But I cannot waste my strength. But I have little strength. That's good. Thou hast little strength and hast kept my word. Oh, we can keep his word. I was listening in a conference in America. young speaker. I can't remember his name now, but he was from Tennessee. Well, anyway, he was from Tennessee. And yes, and he spoke. He said like this, I don't have a long history like you all the speakers. I don't have these stories, God did this and God did that through me. But I have the word. So I'm speaking the word, whoever wants to listen. There are all these people that go to meetings, but they're not taught in the meetings. So I gather the young people together. You want to learn more from the Bible? Come, listen. Go to your places where you go, but get deeper into the Word. Come, let's talk about it. So I have the Word. That's all I have. Philadelphia's had the Word. It's not just knowledge, but the Word that speaks to the heart. The Word that comes from a good shepherd. The third word that feeds the need of the heart. I can listen to all kinds of interesting things about archaeology because they're good. It's good. I can hear about history. I can learn. It's good. But I need something that connects to the level of the heart. And I'm amazed how many voices are there that don't connect to the heart. Some do, but if they don't connect to the need of the heart, it's not really connected to the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of the heart. He's the shepherd that brings grace to the heart, mercy to the heart, holiness to the heart, God's food to the heart. And then, you know, Sometimes you may feel so needy. You may feel so tired. You may feel like, I don't even know where to go. Just sit before God. Sit before Him. He will speak to your heart. He will speak to your heart. Maybe He'll give you a song that you can sing. And tell Him, you know, this is my situation, but I still believe in you. I still want to believe in you. I'm weak. But I know you'll pull this out. I know you will be faithful. God's heart is very tender. God's heart is the heart of a big father. He needs this. You know, sometimes I'm wondering, like, why are these angels telling Him day in and day out, day in and day out, holy, holy, holy. You are holy. Everything you're doing is holy. Everything you're doing is right. Right is one thing. Holy is even higher. You are doing everything according to your wonderful nature. Because the whole earth, what is going on the earth? Hey, God is on a mountain where He hears everybody at one time. He hears every heart. He hears every baby cry. He knows every need. And how many people are cursing God? How many people are saying, I don't believe in God? And how many people are worshiping stones, idols, all kinds of things that are not God's? So when the angels are telling Him, holy, 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 they're telling, they're ministering to His heart, you are doing everything right because the Father's heart wants to save, and people are going their own way. Yeah. So we think like, we need to be encouraged. We think like that many times. We think, I need to be encouraged. I want to praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord, so I sing to be encouraged. I sing to Him. It's true. If I sing, I'll be encouraged. But there's a bigger thing that is happening. The Father is hearing. The Father is hearing the voice of the child telling something. He listens to the voice of the child. And we are kind of blind to it. We're kind of blind to it because we don't think about it. How great is His Father's heart. So let's keep our hearts holy by the blood of Yeshua. That's the only way we can keep our hearts holy. And let's really come and stay with Him that we don't fall into these traps. Right? Right. And so they kept the word, and then it said, and not denied my name. Hey, we may not be like great teachers and anything famous. We're not. We don't care to be. But we don't deny His name. We don't want to deny His name. Shimon Kepha, Peter denied His name, but then the next day, I mean a few days later, he was preaching His name. He was speaking His name. So even if there's a failure, it can be forgiven. And it will be forgiven. And then we don't deny His name. It's warm. You're still awake. This is amazing. It is warm. And it's hard to think in a warm situation. But I thank God for the air conditioning. But then, what is the Laodicean? The next congregation in Revelation 3, what are they saying? In verse 17, they are saying, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have everything. I'm rich, so I have influence. I have influence, I can get anywhere I want to, and I can get there fast. I am wealthy, I don't need anything. I'm increased with goods. But you know, when I'm thinking about this, I'm increased with goods, Is it really talking about physical goods or maybe spiritual things? I never read any, you know the millionaires of today. Millionaires are small guys. It's billionaires and trillionaires. There's so many zeros that I can't even count them at the end of their bank account. And you know what? I've never met a multimillionaire that says, I've got enough. I don't need more anymore. I'm gonna give most of it away and I have enough. They don't talk that way because they have a competition between themselves. Another one is richer, so they want to go to the next step. And all the time they want more and more and more and more and more, while the poor people are thinking, how do I get bread for the next week? Or even maybe for the next day. Because you say I'm rich and enriched with goods and I have need of nothing. Maybe it's physical, but I think it's maybe more different type of riches where you can influence, because they always have a competition between themselves. Maybe there's one there that doesn't, but most of them do. And you don't know that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. In other words, you don't know your need. Now, I don't want to speak too long anymore, but somehow, so many things that we don't have time to talk about here. But needs. When the devil comes to us and says that you need to be like that. That person there, that system there, the marketing, all these things that try to make up needs. And then we think maybe I have spiritual needs that are not met. But here I have to say, wait a minute. Actually, I don't know what is my spiritual need right now. I think I need God this way. God will meet me this way. This is the way He is going to meet my need. I need to be with such and such a person or in such and such a company and then my needs are met because they can understand me and they can. I don't know what is my need. I have my idea. My need comes this way. But it may be completely different way. And where I don't think my need is met, there may be another need that is met exactly. Let me give you an example. Hey, you remember the great Syrian warrior Naaman, the warrior there. He comes with horses and that young servant girl, she was always nice and makes some foods for him and whatever. And he comes to Israel to meet the prophet because the girl told that there's a prophet in Israel. He can get you healing. So he had the idea. The prophet will come. He will put his hand on me. You know the text, I'm not going to read it. He'll put his hand, wave his hand over me like this, something like this, and then my skin will be healed. Now he comes to the gate with a big horse and all this entourage and very rich man, but he's leprous. He's poor guy, huh? And the prophet sends his servant to tell him, go and dip 7 times in the river Jordan. He gets angry. Who does he? He's a prophet, okay. these people exist. But I can wipe out this whole country. If I bring my armies here, they are a toast. They are nothing. And he doesn't even come to meet me. What a proud guy he is. No. The military leader is proud. The prophet doesn't come because his need is to be humble first. He's not humble. He has this idea, God's going to meet me this way. Or let's put it this way. Well, pride, proud, yes, but it's also blind. Pride is actually blindness. And blindness is proud. It is blindness. It's blindness. So then he's going to criticize the medicine. The cure is go to this miserable river Jordan that is so small at a certain season in a year. And in the spring it's full of water, but in the summertime, oh, it's very dry. It's nothing like the big rivers we have in Syria. Then he is criticizing not the prophet only not coming to him, but he's criticizing the cure. He wants me to go there. This is stupid. This is actually really stupid. Aha. And then comes the little girl and says, hey, he's not asking much. If you asked a lot of money or something big, you would do it in a second. He's asking something small. You came all the way. What are you going to lose? Ah, when a young lady, a young girl like that talks to you like that, you can't say no. Ah, God is clever. He knows how to make proud humble. Okay, so he goes. One time, nothing happens. He dips second time, nothing happens. He's probably full of doubt already. Third time, nothing happens. Fourth time, nothing happens. Fifth time, nothing happens. Sixth time, nothing happened. Yeah, but he did seven times. He may have even thought, probably nothing's going to happen. But I'm going to do it. Seven times, he comes from the water. What's happening to my skin? Wow! Unbelievable. I'm going to go back and give him a good reward. But he doesn't want money. Okay. I am like this. I may have an idea. Look. It's hard for me to say this, but this is really true. It's not just me. It's probably all of us in some way. But I am really blind to know what way God is fulfilling my need. And I'm thinking I need this, and I need encouragement this way. I need joy this way. I need this music band to give me, I need this way, and I need it this way. And all I have around me is, I have these unmet needs. And I don't know how blind I am. I don't know that God is doing it all the time. He's working patience in me. And when I have the moment of dryness, hey, let me say this. When you make a clay pot from a clay, if the clay is too wet, you can't build it into a pot. You can't give it a form. So we say, well, I want revival. I want reviving in my heart. I want so much reviving, and where's the best place to be revived? And all these things are true. And if it's God's way, we shall go here and there and be revived. Yes. But sometime when the clay is too wet, the potter has to put it on the wall somewhere to dry. And it has to be enough dry and enough wet so it can take the form it can become the vessel it needs to be. Sometimes I think, God, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. I need that dry moment. And I don't see my heart. I don't see my need. I don't know the order in which God has to do it. I don't know in which way. All I need to know. I've spoken many things. I'm going to stop here. But all I can say is, remember this. Rahmim. Remember Rahamim. Remember mercies. The Father of mercies has taken everything into account. And I have to admit, I am more blind than I know. I just have to believe. We have a Father. So, devil, get away from me. Don't bring me to that orphan spirit that God does not care. Don't lie to me that you gotta have everything into your hands. And don't lie to me that you have to be perfectly righteous in yourself until I get help from God. I have no righteousness of my own. I follow Yeshua. But my righteousness is not even how I follow Yeshua. My righteousness is Yeshua as the robe of righteousness. Say for you, we have gift of righteousness. That's why we have perfect mercy. I think we have spoken enough this time. There's so much more. So much more. But He knows what we don't know. For Israel, He knows what Israel needs right now. I don't think we need what we have right now. I'm wrong. God knows what we need right now. So we need to turn to Him and say, Toda al hakol avinu shebashamayim be Hashem Maran Yeshua Mashiach HaMashiach. Amen.